When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday to you. Hope your day is starting off well, although it's probably starting off a little bit damp. It was raining pretty good up until just a little while ago, and it's still kind of sprinkling down there a little bit. So if you're getting ready to head out of the house, you're going to need to make sure you bring a hat or umbrella or something, because this will keep going for a little bit. But this is fine. I don't mind a day like this, especially after the warm days that we've had. Chance to kind of reset a little bit. There's nothing, I mean, this is my own personal opinion. Maybe you feel differently. But I used to love on a hot day, like a really hot day, and you go somewhere like, I don't know, a flea market or something. Or just something where you're outside and there's a lot of, like, say, blacktop tar around, and then a nice storm moves in. Quick downpour. Not, you know, not thunder and lightning, not have to run for cover, although I do love thunder and lightning, but, you know, comes and it rains, cools everything down, and then all of a sudden you feel like 10 degrees cooler. The rain passes away. You have that ozone smell in the air. I don't know. I'm a fan of that. Maybe you're not. But I always appreciated when those came through on a hot day. So anyway, we have a lot that we can discuss this morning. And of course, we'll take your phone calls at 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemail messages on the WBSM app. In the national news front, it was reported last night by multiple outlets. I saw the AP had it. I saw CNN had it, a few others, that Kamala Harris has enough delegates to earn the nomination. I guess all the different state delegates got together on like Zoom calls to see where everybody stood. And from what we're hearing, it was pretty much across the board. Everybody was in support. And you can say what you want about whether or not you love her as a candidate, but it's nice that after all the division that's gone on for the last few weeks, that everybody's on the same page. And if you heard her comments yesterday about Donald Trump and about how she plans to go up against him, no matter how you feel about it, whether you're for Kamala Harris, whether you're for Donald Trump, whether you're for someone else completely, you have to look at it and say, well, at least there's some energy and intrigue injected here. At least there's going to be some fight. Because I didn't feel that we were getting a lot of fight out of Joe Biden. I felt like he thought what he had done was enough. He talked a lot about fighting, but I don't think he was ready to get down and dirty if need be. I think he was trying to stay above the fray because that's what appealed to the people that voted for him in 2020. And unfortunately, I think trying to take the high road against Donald Trump doesn't always work because it makes it look like you're trying to say, I'm not going to stoop to your level. And I'm talking about things like name calling and things to that degree. But I think Kamala Harris will do that, which at the very least makes it more interesting for people who are keeping an eye on it. Is it great for democracy? Well, you know what? It's happened like that in a lot of presidential races. It just so happens that one particular candidate in this race might do it more often and a little bit more vulgarly than others. We also have more Doobie Brothers tickets to give away today, which you can enter at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. Brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. And even though I'm going to be out of town Thursday and Friday, we'll still have the contest running. Casey knows how to go into the system that we use and randomly select a winner in my stead, so she will do that. And then we will have our next contest up by the end of the week. There's some local news that we can discuss as well. And yesterday, there was an arraignment for the New Bedford woman who was charged with leaving her infant son's body at Fort Tabor. And I say body because, well, I shouldn't say body because we don't know if the child was deceased or not when she left it there. We still don't know that to this point. But if you recall this story, it happened in December. There was a woman and her niece, I guess, who were out walking at Fort Tabor. And as they're walking around, they saw a blanket wrapped up in the bushes. And they said, oh, what's that? What's going on over there? So they went over there to look, and inside the blanket, they found a plastic bag. And inside the plastic bag, unfortunately, was the decomposing body of an infant boy. And so she yelled over to two guys that were walking their dog. The guys came over. One of them called the police. The police responded to the scene. The state medical examiner took possession of the infant's body, but was unable to determine the manner or cause of death. But then the investigation began into what happened. And they used DNA analysis, surveillance footage in and around the park, and other methods to eventually charge the boy's mother. 22-year-old Daniela Michelle Escobar Mija with improper disposal of a body. And again, that's because they don't know how the child died and if it had been alive prior to being left at the park. So I don't know if they'll be able to come up with more charges. I think this is probably the best they're going to be able to do based on what they can prove through the forensics. But what they have been able to determine, and I'm guessing this is probably from the surveillance footage, is that the child was left in the park November 6th. The child was discovered on December 9th. The decomposing body, which means it had been out there for more than a month before this woman and her niece found it. And they must still be having nightmares from that discovery. Just terrible. And again, these are just allegations against this mother. 22 years old. If they are true, you know, maybe there's extenuating circumstances. Maybe the baby passed away and she panicked. But it seems nefarious on the surface. So the next, see if I have the next trial date here, yeah. There'll be a pretrial conference on September 12th. But this is just a horrific tragedy, a horrific situation that hopefully they will have answers for by the end of this trial. Speaking of answers, too, we also have some more answers in what happened over the weekend with Taunton Mayor Shauna O'Connell and her husband. If you haven't heard about this story, so basically, the police were called to the mayor's home Friday night for a domestic incident between Mayor O'Connell and her husband, Ted. And very little information was given out over the course of the weekend. The police didn't say much about it. And for people, I saw some of the comments on social media where people were claiming that, you know, the police were covering this up. That's not the case at all. This is standard procedure for a domestic situation. Police don't give a lot of the details in a domestic situation. In fact, you know, we don't even report them unless it's, you know, a prominent figure like Mayor O'Connell. We don't even ask about them if they come up on the police log. So if we are going through the police log and we see something that says, you know, domestic assault, we don't ask. Unless it happens, you know, maybe like in a public place, like in the middle of the Dartmouth Mall or something, and then people have questions about what went on. Because that's what our job is. Our job is to give you the information so that in the absence of information, rumor doesn't begin. But for the most part, 99% of the time, a domestic situation is not something that we would report, not something that the police would report. But again, in this case, this was the mayor of the city of Taunton. And she was the one accused of the violence. So she was arrested Friday night, and then she pleaded not guilty yesterday to assaulting her husband. But she is accused of biting him, hitting him with a gasket scraper, and jumping on his car when he tried to leave. So WPRI has the report from the court documents. And by the way, what the mayor is charged with is one misdemeanor count of assault and battery on a family member and one felony count of assault and battery with a dangerous weapon. Now, the mayor's husband was in court with her on Monday. And in fact, you know, he's been apologetic about this, saying he was sorry that he called the police. He shouldn't have called the police over this. The mayor was released on personal recognizance and ordered not to abuse her husband. I think that's a fair thing to request. But he said he regretted calling the police and that he apologized to his wife for reporting the incident. He called it a huge mistake. So at 10 p.m. on Friday night, police were called. They arrived to the mayor's home. They saw Ted O'Connell standing in the driveway, and he told the police that he and his wife were involved in an argument that ended up turning physical and that it was a marital issue. He said his wife bit him on his left forearm and then grabbed a gasket cleaner, which is, you know, a tool that you use to clean debris from metal surfaces. And she struck him with it on his right hand in the knuckle area. And police noted in their report they saw multiple open wounds on his knuckles. They found the gasket cleaner. They tagged it as evidence. He said that Mayor O'Connell then jumped on the hood of his car to prevent him from leaving. And officers did see a small dent on the hood along with a bent broom in the driveway. They asked Ted O'Connell if he was hit with the broom. He said no. He refused medical attention. He did not want to apply for a restraining order. Then the police went into the home. They found the mayor in a second floor bedroom. The door was closed, and she told officers that, quote, she had no intention on opening the door. Which I think is kind of an odd thing to say in this situation. The police officer wrote, while speaking through the closed door, I was able to look through a small crack and observe Shauna on the phone, and she did not appear to have any injuries. She eventually did open the door. She sat on the bed. She talked to the police and said she didn't know what happened. She just said that her husband had been verbally abusive to her. But police decided at that point there was enough evidence to charge Mayor O'Connell criminally. She was escorted downstairs where she grabbed some shoes and was placed in handcuffs. And again, this comes from WPRI's report. As she left her home, the mayor, quote, attempted to see her husband again and began yelling toward him. And then the police brought her to police headquarters where she was booked and put in a cell to await bail. And then you might have heard, you know, that the mayor put out a statement on Saturday that said, Ted and I have been married for 27 years. Like all couples, we have had challenges. We've been working through marital issues. During an argument, Ted involved the police and regrets making that decision. So the mayor is due back in court September 12th. If you remember, there was an issue, I think last year, where the mayor's daughter had run away. And they found her and she eventually came home. But there's clearly some issues in the O'Connell home. And it sounds like, and this is just my opinion, I'm not a lawyer, but it sounds like hopefully this doesn't really go anywhere and become a bigger issue. But you've got a mayor charged with felony assault. I'm going to take a break here. We'll be back in just a few moments. Welcome back in. Her name is Rio, and she dances on the sand. You probably don't want to dance on the sand this morning, though. It's probably a little bit mushy because of the rain. I just saw it's still coming down right now. Phil Devitt's going to have your latest forecast with you coming up in the news. And, of course, on the other side, we'll take your calls, 508-996-0500, your app chat messages, and your open line voicemails on the WBSM app. If you don't have the app already, just go to your app store and download it. Or go to WBSM.com and click on the Listen tab, and there's a link there to have it sent right to your phone. It's brought to you by our friends at South Coast Towing. Let's go into the newsroom now and get the latest update on everything happening in the world with Phil Devitt.
Kamala Harris's campaign brings in a ton of money in day one. The head of Secret Service faces calls to resign, and AI is flagging cancer with more accuracy than doctors.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Vice President Kamala Harris's campaign raked in $81 million in the first 24 hours of her announcing she's seeking the Democratic nomination for president following President Biden's decision to drop his reelection bid. Not only is she bringing in the cash, she's now secured enough delegates to receive the official nomination. Harris is going after Donald Trump as she begins her campaign. During her first on-camera event in Delaware on Tuesday, Harris went over her experience as a California attorney general and courtroom prosecutor.
In those roles, I took on perpetrators of all kinds. Predators who abused women. Fraudsters who ripped off consumers. Cheaters who broke the rules for their own gain. So hear me when I say, I know Donald Trump's type.
She told her staff she'll gladly put her record as a prosecutor against Trump's record as a criminal. She noted Trump has been found liable in a sexual assault case and was found guilty of 34 counts of falsifying business records. Trump says mistakes were made at the Pennsylvania rally earlier this month and ended with an attempted assassination. Monday night, Trump was joined by his VP pick, J.D. Vance, on Fox News, where they discussed the shooting. Both men agreed it was very lucky that Trump wasn't more badly injured and said someone needs to be held responsible for the slow reaction time from authorities. Now, the embattled Secret Service director is facing bipartisan outrage for the failure to protect Trump at the rally. In a House hearing on Monday, Illinois Democrat Raja Krishnamoorthy pushed Director Kimberly Cheadle on the decision not to pause the rally after attendees spotted a man on the roof.
The moment that the shift surrounding the president were aware of an actual threat.
That's a threat. Right there. The guy's on the roof and everybody's yelling at him.
Cheadle testified the assassination attempt on Trump was the most significant operational failure of the security agency in decades. Lawmakers want to know how the gunman managed to get on a rooftop with a clear line of sight to Trump within 157 yards from the stage. To the anger of some lawmakers, Cheadle's provided few new details about the event, deferring to the ongoing investigation. Delta Airlines says it will take another couple of days to recover from a global computer outage on Friday. The airline has canceled more than 4,000 flights since Friday. CEO Ed Bastian said yesterday the company is doing everything possible, including increases in incentive pay for pilots and flight attendants. And a new study shows artificial intelligence is identifying cancer with more accuracy than doctors. Tammy Trujillo with the details.
Research done by UCLA shows an AI tool identified prostate cancer with 84% accuracy compared to 67% accuracy for cases detected by physicians. The software called Unfold AI is made by Avenda Health in California. It uses an AI algorithm to visualize the likelihood of cancer based on certain data. Experts say that AI could lead to more accurate diagnosis and more targeted treatments. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
WBSM Sports.
The Red Sox dropped their series opener to the Rockies, a 9-8 loss in 12 innings from Denver. The three-game set continues tonight, first pitch at 8:40.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Good to be with you, everybody, on this Tuesday morning. Patchy fog, showers, and thunderstorms first part of the morning. Temperature and dew point around 70. That is why we're seeing that patchy fog. 78 for this afternoon. The chance for showers will diminish, but gray skies will prevail. Temperature topping out around the upper 70s overnight tonight. We'll continue with that threat for showers. Patchy fog and the temperature in the upper 60s for tomorrow. A little bit more of the same. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci Del Carmen on New Bedford News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in. We're going to go from one mayor who's having trouble at home to another mayor who has great news at home, and she wants to multiply. Well, actually, she's going to multiply. Boston Mayor Michelle Wu is pregnant with her third child. She announced last night. So congratulations to her family. Of course, her and her husband Connor already have two children, Cass and Blaze, and now their third child will be born in January. The 4th is a pretty good day to be born, I'm just going to say. You know, just in case you can select a day. People always ask me growing up, like, oh, you must hate having a birthday that's so close to Christmas. Nah, I didn't care at all. Didn't bother me. The best year was 89, Christmas of 89, and my birthday, 1990, because after years of begging, finally got a Nintendo, Christmas of 89. And we only had the Mario and Duck Hunt game that comes with it. And then my birthday was just a couple weeks later, so I was able to get another game. What game did I get? Back to the Future, of course, which was not really a great game. It was very disappointing for what I was hoping it would be. But for those of you who ever played it, it did become addictive. And I had it on an emulator on my phone for years. Still couldn't beat it. I guess maybe the secret was you had to get that LJN rock and roller peripheral that plugged into the Nintendo. Remember all the different things you could get that would plug into your Nintendo? You'd get it for one game, and then you'd never use it again. Like, oh, I have to get this, whatever it was. And then you never ended up using it. Always wanted the Power Glove. Didn't have any games that needed the Power Glove, but I always wanted the Power Glove. And the one Nintendo accessory I always wanted, I don't collect it anymore. I sold my collection a couple years ago. But when I was collecting, the one thing that I wanted was a Robbie the Robot. I wanted to play Gyromite with Robbie the Robot, but alas, they were always too expensive when I ever found them. If you don't remember, Rob the Robot was actually his name, R-O-B. What was it, Robotic Operating Buddy or something like that? And he would play games with you, but I think he only played like two or three games. Not a huge selling point for Nintendo. But if you got the original Nintendo Deluxe set, it came with the robot. And so many people were like, what am I going to do with this? And just kind of threw it in the closet. And then there was the power pad. So you could run and jump on it. Play track and field. There was a couple of different types of controllers. The NES Max, the NES Advantage. I forget which one was which, but whatever the big one was with the joystick came in handy playing Blaster Master. But the one accessory we never got in America for Nintendo probably led to, and this is just going off on a tangent here, but the biggest question people had about a Nintendo back in the 80s was when you flipped it over, there was a little plastic compartment that you could pop out. And when you popped it out, there was nothing there. And you're like, what is this? What is this for? And I found out years later what that was for when I was reading a book about Nintendo, about its beginnings as a trading card company and its development of home video games. That thing, that little compartment under the Nintendo Entertainment System, was the space where it was intended for a modem, where you would put on an add-on piece of a modem in there so that you could connect to an internet network. And that was a feature that was in the original Nintendo over in Japan, the Super Famicom. You could connect your Super Famicom system into the internet over there, even in the early 1980s, and you could do things like banking on essentially your Nintendo. If you never saw a Super Famicom, it's similar to a Nintendo. It kind of looks more like a Super Nintendo because you put the cartridges in the top of the game instead of sliding into the front. But yeah, people in Japan were using their Nintendo systems to go online in, 1984, 85. Actually, even a little bit before that. So in case you ever wondered what that thing was on the bottom of your Nintendo, it's where the modem was supposed to go. Look at us now. We've come a long way. Actually, video games, for those of you who are regular Those of you, I won't say regular gamers, but people who have kind of played for a long time, you don't have to necessarily play every day, but if you started playing video games in the 80s and you still play them today, it's such an amazing growth that they've had. They're like cinema now. But kids that play the older games, and a lot of kids do, kids love the older games. They bring up the point of how could you have played these games for hours? Like, they hurt my eyes because they're playing games that they're essentially watching a movie. So it's not the same type of effect as we had playing, Pac-Man or Space Invaders or something. And even though our moms warned us that, video games would ruin our eyes and we didn't believe her, and it wasn't 100% true, just remember all those old TVs from the 80s that we burned images into the screen of the Pac-Man screen from it being on there so much. Maybe we did damage our eyes a little bit. 508-996-0500. And don't even get me started on virtual reality. Oh, my God. I bought one of those Oculus systems last year. It's mind-blowing. If you've never tried virtual reality, you can go to Best Buy and they have one set up that you can actually try out. I don't know if they still have it out, but they did last time I was there. And it's unbelievable. You actually feel like you're doing the things that you're doing in the game. There was a climbing game that I was playing that I had to stop playing because it just gave me too much anxiety. My fear of heights kicked in, even though I knew I was standing firmly on my living room floor. Didn't matter. Pretty soon we won't be able to tell what's real and what isn't anymore. Well, sometimes we can't tell as it is. 508-996-0500. I'm going to take my next break here. We'll be right back. And welcome back in. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemail on the WBSM app. Getting ready. My first paranormal discussion of the year tonight. Pizza and the paranormal. We're doing it over at the Dipper Cafe. Going to be giving a presentation on the Bridgewater Triangle. Well, we have some bar pizza and some beer. But a little rusty. Haven't done that presentation since last October. So hopefully we get a good crowd over there. It's only like 600 people that claim that they're interested in going. Even the 60 people who registered as going on Facebook, I'm like, well, I don't think you can fit 60 people in there. But it'll be fun. So hope to see people over there today. And maybe it's something we'll do more of. I'll be around in October and September all over the place, going to all different kinds of libraries. I'm already booking a bunch of them, and we'll let you know as we get closer to them, because they're all free to attend. Libraries are fantastic places to go for, not just for books, but as a community hub. Different presentations, guest speakers, resources. Highly recommend making sure that if you don't go to your library on a regular basis, that you at least get on their email mailing list or follow them on Facebook so you can be aware of all the stuff that does happen. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSN.
Hey, good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. I just want to clarify that I'm not Turkey Man. I'm not Ferris. My name's Danny, by the way. And I'll dismiss all of it. Ken Pimmon thinks I'm Ferris. And your buddy thinks that I'm Turkey Man. Meatloaf Man, whatever he wants to call him. No, I've never been in showbiz.
Okay.
But I want to talk about Robert Kennedy Jr. I've been listening to him on many interviews, and he's talking about the Democratic Party and how it's rigged. And he said that 400 elites actually run the DNC, not the delegates. It's not a fair process. They don't give all the polling numbers, the polling data, so each individual delegate can make a decision on who's the best candidate to beat Donald Trump. And he also went on to say that the DNC also changed 60 rules for Democratic candidates running in the race, especially in the primaries, especially towards him to try to keep him out of running in the race for the presidency. And he gave an example like in New Hampshire in the primaries, when they go to New Hampshire, the candidates in the Democratic Party, all the Democratic individual candidates, their polling number all gets tallied towards who the elites within the Democratic Party select. So he went on to say it's a rigged process. And he said if it wasn't a rigged process, he would run as a Democrat. And he chooses not to because he went independent. But if the Democrats are serious and they want a candidate to beat Donald Trump, that he's the one, and the polling numbers show that.
Well, the only thing that I would question about that is if that's the case, then why did they select Joe Biden this time around, and why did they wait so long to switch him out?
Right, and Frank Biden, Joe Biden's younger brother, was asked by a CBS reporter what was the main reason for him not running for a second term, and he said that health was played a considerable role in his decision.
Yeah, so I didn't see the quote. I just saw somebody reposting it, so I don't know if it was accurate, but I heard that he also said, you know, we just want to enjoy what time he has left, which has some people concerned.
That was part of it. Yeah, he did say that, but he also did say, because he was asked, Frank Biden, what was the reason he said that he believes, now this is Frank Biden believes, he told a CBS reporter, that health played a considerable role in his decision. And he went on to say he wanted to spend more, which is a PC, you know, pretty much.
Well, but it's also concerning to some people because they say, well, wait a minute, what do you mean how much time he has left? Does he have some sort of terminal diagnosis?
Right. Nobody seems to know. And Kamala, according to Joe Manchin, too, he left the Democratic Party because he says it was taken over by the far left. And, you know, he says Kamala doesn't stand a chance. He went on to say that 51%, now this is registered American voters, 51% is independents. 25% are Republican registered 25% registered Republicans and 23% registered Democrats. They have to go towards the center. And both parties are an extreme, the far left and the far right. So he said anyone that's going to win in this presidency has to get the votes of the center of America. Because Americans, are not, for the most part, are not on extremes of the spectrum.
Right. Yeah.
So this is what this is all about. It's about getting the vote. Because 51% registered independents, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And that's far more. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, I was going to say, and everybody's so concerned about energizing their base to come out and vote, and nobody's really paying attention to those folks in the middle.
Right, because if, even if you take the 25% registered Republicans and you add it with the 23 registered Democrats, you come up with 48%. So the independents outnumber. So, you know, both are trying to, you know, hunker down and trying to get their base, but they have to go to the center. And that's how Bill Clinton won. Bill Clinton went to the Senate, and that's how he won two terms as president. It was because he went towards the center. But these other candidates, they're just so far to the extreme that, you know, most people like the center has nowhere to run to. That's I agree with that point with Joe Manchin is the independent voter looks at the extremes and they have nowhere to go.
Right, right. Well, I thank you for the call. I got to hold you there because I got to take
all
a break.
Right, Jim.
You have a good day. And that is a point that's been said all throughout this election, I think, is that, you know, everybody's trying to just bring their base to the table and try to win over a few in the other person's camp. But it's those moderate people in the middle that are going to make all the difference. I got to take a break. We will be right back.
And wonder why you were always there.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this hour. We still have a few more hours to go, you and I. So you can call in 508-996-0500 and app chat messages and open line voicemails in the WBSM app. The rain is coming down now. So if you're getting ready to head out to go to work or wherever else you need to be this morning, you're going to need an umbrella, a hat, something.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.